Thank you very much for inviting us. We're going to do a double act. So, urban trees, they're a problem. As a boriculturalist, our clients are increasingly ask us to do the impossible, particularly in London, to build structures really, really close to trees. And the rooting environment of trees changes. People want to put hard surfaces around them. They want to lower the ground, raise the ground, and worse still, there's often repeated trenching around trees. And of course, this can introduce disease. And then there's people hugging trees, thank goodness, but all of that can cause soil compaction. Tomorrow we're going to scan the major oak in Sherwood Forest, which we can't wait to do that. And one of the problems there is that the soil has been so compacted by tree huggers a long time ago. So all of these things cause a problem with urban trees. But there's another problem with urban trees, and it's how people think about them and what they know about them. Most people, the general public, love trees, but I think, and I don't care what people think about me saying this, I think it's gone badly wrong in Sheffield. There's been a lot of indiscriminate felling, and one of the reasons why is just a lack of understanding about how trees root. So we have a problem. But we do have lots of tools in the trade. It's not enough just to use gut feeling, although we'd already all have an intuition about that. As a boriculturalist, we have the root protection area, and that's from the BS 5837 2012 to the non-arbs here. And it's a calculation of diameter at 1.5 metres, times it by 12, and you get the radius of a circle. What could be simpler? Well, it's based on no fact whatsoever. But, you know, over the years, I've carried out loads of excavations and air spading and radar. It's not a bad stab at it. Other tools of the trade, digging a hole and having a look. And, you know, sometimes that's okay. It'll just give you a little snapshot into the ground of what's happening. There's air spading, which I'm going to come onto in a moment, and there's tree radar. So air spading is great fun. I wonder if anyone here has had a go. I expect you have. For those of you who haven't, it's a really high pressure air coming out of a lance, and it's really noisy and really messy, which makes it really cool to do, especially as a woman, big biceps. But it's very, very slow. So if I was going to carry out an air spade along the length of the stage here, that would take me and somebody else about a day. And I can only really get down as deep as the soil allows. So a nice friable soil, I might be able to get down to a metre and a half. Wow, that would be amazing. On the sort of clay soil, so I don't know if you can tell, but I'm from Essex. And so where I am, it's a lot of clay soil, so I'll get down to about there. But it has its uses. It's good for root pruning, it's good for threading stuff underneath the roots, it's good for seeing visually. You know, just walk over to the trench and go, oh yeah, I can see the trees actually rooting there. That was me being a builder, by the way, more of which later. And so, but it's very good, but it does cause some harm. So those fine ephemeral roots, they get blown away. Okay, they're going to be replaced. In fact, they love the newly disturbed soil. But the thicker roots, the outer bark gets scorched if you're not really careful. So it is a useful tool. And it will also tell you which roots are from which tree. Take a scenario. London Plain, lime tree. Lime tree's a goner, it's got disease. But we need to know, because we want to put a wall between the two trees. So if I did a tree radar scan, I can't tell which roots are coming from which tree. But with the air spade, I can see because the roots are a different colour. So it has its pros, it has its cons. Now, there you go. That's not me though, I should have got. But now I'm going to tell you about the science. So now, for the science bit, it's Mr. Ian Lee.
Morning. The tree radar unit we used is based on a standard geophysics radar antenna. It's one of these funny little boxy things that runs along the floor. It works by sending us pulse down, but then running a very, very specialized software to interpret that data. The pulse it sends down is a very narrow beam radar. It's literally like pointing down, almost shining a torch directly down. It is only what's directly underneath the bottom of the scanning unit that gets looked at. But what we're interested in is it's sending the pulse down, hopefully it's finding routes, and then it's sending a reflection back up. And the way we're looking at things is we want to find out where the routes are, but we don't want to disturb the soil. We don't want to be digging up their whatever surfacing is there. And we don't want to be actually damaging the route itself. Radar signals, like all electromagnetic waves, generally interact with the materials they're sort of passing through or into in one of four different ways. It can go straight through the material, not a lot of use to us. It can be reflected by the material. That's good news for us because we can, obviously, it bounces off the material straight back up to the receiver. It can be absorbed by the material, or it can slow down. It can be slowed down by the material. The two best reflectors of radar signals are water and metal, and that's what we're really focusing around with the tree radar. As I've said, the radar signals can be slowed down as they pass through a material. So when we get to site, we need to calibrate our machine so we know how fast everything's traveling through the soils. What we also need to do is we need to teach our radar unit the difference between my head being this big here and your head at the back there being about that big. In actual fact, we've got to teach it. We have to quite literally calibrate the machine in a Dougal fashion. So when we send the pulse down into the soil, the time we know the speed that it's going to travel through there, it hits and reflects off the water content in the root, bounces back up. That basically tells us the depth of the root. If we're walking along, we're going from point A to point B, we know exactly where we start. We've got an encoding wheel on the side of the machine. So as it's going along, we're plotting a distance along the bottom of the chart, and we've got distances along there, so we know exactly where the tree roots are going to be. Up till this point, it's exactly the same as Time Team. Only difference is I'm a lot taller than Tony Robinson and Sharon's a girl. So, yeah. The way tree radar uses the signals is very different, though. So we want to be looking at very, very narrow parts of the return signal. Water has got a very, very distinct radar signature when it bounces off. Metal, unfortunately, reflects it so brightly it can almost blind our machine. So we're looking at the different ways and different waveforms, and that's what we're really focusing around. So we, in the olden days, three years ago, yeah, we used to have to do everything manually. We now have a semi-automated software system. As we're doing the scan, the software looks for these specific waveline patterns, and it is very, very characteristic of water concentrated within the soil, within the root. Background water, because we've calibrated it for the different soils, we know the difference between the two. So our semi-automated software flags up what it thinks are tree roots. It's not always right. So we actually then need to spend a lot of time going back through, and we need to check the results. So we do this by putting different filters on it. We're going to be checking the profile of that waveform, as I've said. And we're going to be relying on a lot of experience. We've been doing this, I think you've been 10 years and I've been doing it 7. So we've got a lot of background there and we've done various research trips so we know what we're looking at and how the signal should look. So we've got to go through all this data to make sure it's right. This can take days and sometimes we still end up going back to the older way so we can check it manually. Sharon's going to expand on the older system a little bit later on. I think she's going to talk you through it. But the one thing we can't do at the moment, and this is going to be the holy grail of tree radar, we can't tell the diameter of the tree root. The reason behind this is you can have a small root, absolutely jam-packed with water. There's a really dense amount of water molecules within the tree root. It's bouncing the signals back up to the receiver, and then you get a really bright, really strong return signal. Or you can have an older root. It's, you know, structurally sound, it's still functional, but it's got a slightly desiccated core. It's very important, however, the return signal on it isn't as strong. So the radar return signal tells us small route's very good, bigger route isn't very important at all. It's not correct. We know that. The other problem is it's the angle you cross the tree route. So if we're scanning from here to there and there's a route going across here, that's fantastic. If you think about your arm, if your arm is the tree route, we're going straight across there with our narrow beam of radar torch shining down. At that point, I'm going to have a cross-section of about 50 millimetres. And that's perfect, but we need the 90 degrees. However, if we then have another tree root which inconveniently grows in an angle, so if you have your arm again, my 50 mil diameter tree root here, if we hit an oblique angle, suddenly becomes probably about 500 mil, and my arm's really not 500 millimetres in diameter. The only way we're going to carry on doing this, as I've said, we've been doing research trips, and we've gone to Holland a couple of times, and we do our own personal research, but we're trying to engage the community from around the world, which isn't a very big community, not with actually has the tree radar equipment. But we need to carry on doing research, so we're doing scanning the ground. Then we need to dig it up and see what we're seeing. We need to then record the diameter of the tree roots, check the strength of the signals, and then feed this back. And then we've got some very clever chaps over in America who are hopefully going to redesign their software and update it with new algorithms so that they can try and get there with the latest release of the software. And they think they're getting there, but we'll wait and see on that one. I'm going to pass you back to Sharon now.
Thank you. So you've heard all about the radar. What does it look like? It's a pimped-up pushchair. And worse still, with the pimped-up pushchair, you have to walk really, really slowly, sort of like this, so that the data goes down from the antennae, a 400 megahertz antennae, an orange box, which will pick up every route with a diameter of 20 millimetres and above down to 3 metres. This is handy because it correlates with the BS5837 route of importance, which is 25 mil. We have another antennae, 900 megahertz, goes down to a metre, picks up routes that small, but it's confusing massive data for most people. We need a surface which is really smooth. So a smooth surface would be mown grass, bare earth, concrete, asphalt. Even we can use it indoors because we can filter out the metal. What we can't do is we can't scan over shrubs, bramble, rockeries, or despite our clients' insistence, parked cars. So we're really, really careful to find out what the routing environment is like. And we can also use it against vertical structures by picking up the antennae. As part of this talk, we spoke to our colleagues around the world, and here's Mikkel from Terra Nostra using against a wall in Rotterdam to track the roots. And it's really, really important to accurately mark where we're scanning. In urban environments, it's very difficult to get a clear route, but we want to try and gather data from all around the tree. So here's a plan of scan lines every metre apart. The joy, though, is to do a series of concentric circles, because that makes for a prettier picture. You'll see that later. But in terms of people wanting to build near trees, we have to be so careful to accurately mark, so we can go back and say, X marks a spot. You can put your pile here and not here. And so we spoke about this is a raw data. And at the top there, there was a signature waveform up here. That's how we know it's a route. So this is me doing the old-fashioned way. And at the bottom, it's chaos. So there we go. So it takes a while to analyze this way. We have the new software. Oh, I'm going to show you a picture of that. So you can see this tree is lifting the tarmac. Trees love to grow below tarmac in a sort of sandy soil. Oh dear, running out of time. And there's a cleaned up version of that. So we have the ground at the top, increasing depth, surface roots, and a few deeper roots. And here's a semi-automated software. We have to watch out for metal, take that out. Buried clay bricks are a problem. We have to try and filter those out as well. But we can see the red roots, the red triangles are roots, and this is a root density. And then we spend days plotting all this data. There's got to be a new way. This conference has really inspired me to find a different way to actually produce these top-down views. But this is the sort of data that we can produce. Layers of plans which show routes at different depths, and we can combine those into a CAD plan. And so this is a cross-section of one scan line. So we have the ground level, increasing depth, and these polygons are bundles of routes together. So we can really sort of map where things are going. And once we've got our plan, we can export it into a digital plan that architects can use and underlay onto their drawings. And for concentric circles, we can produce what we call the money shots, which is the 3D morphology of the routing environment. So we took it to Holland, as Ian mentioned, and we painstakingly scanned and recorded to the centimetre where we were passing over, and then we were able to correlate our results, and we were very happy. Phew, it does work. But we learnt a lot about calibration. And by the way, we have really suffered with this machine. I mean, I've personally broken it in every single way possible, and Ian's had to mend it. But, you know, it's like any technology when there's hardly any of you. There's only 115 units in the world. Half of those are in universities. There's 3 users in the UK. There's us. There's Dr. John Hugh, who's here today, and Peter Barton. So we're a very small team. So I spoke to our friends around the world and saw how they used it. And in Uruguay, it's for health and safety. Andres mapped 1,500 routes at trees and was able to determine which trees were healthy and which trees were dangerous. In fact, he produced a standard deviation bell curve, which enabled him to map which trees needed to be felled because their rooting structure was so poor. In the States, our friend in New York City uses it to guide construction and also for health and safety. And we know all these people. It's one of the joys of being a nerd, because you mix with other nerds from around the world. Some of you probably already know that. And so in Italy, just to show, I haven't got time to talk about stems. I haven't planned to talk about stems, but we can use it on stems. I hope that somebody asks a question about that. And here, so he's got a gig out in Saudi Arabia. How lucky is that? So he's scanning for the red palm weevil to see where these critters are actually causing harm. And my very good friend Laura from Madrid, using it for health and safety. And I've observed that it's the UK where we're really using it for construction because of the strength of our planning system and the smallness of this little island that we live on. So that tends to be our speciality. And so, yep, this is it at work. I'm looking here at a veteran tree. So the veteran tree work is really important because we all value our veteran trees and they are under threat. They're actually under threat from tree huggers, which is a good thing, really, that we want to see them. But in terms of the British standard, I believe that the root protection area is inadequate. The Ancient Tree Forum's root protection area 15 times is also not really big enough. So we've been going out and doing some surveys, and this is an oak at Burley, and we've been finding that the trees are rooting well beyond even 15 times the stem diameter. So let's say we've got a 2-metre stem diameter. Oh gosh, I want to do a sum live on stage. But it's beyond that. And and don't forget, I'm only finding roots with this diameter. Think about the myriad of fine feeder roots growing from that root, and then the mycorrhizae community with that. I mean, it's just a huge underground ecosystem. So, you know, I haven't got all the time in the world to do every tree, but as I say, we're going to Sherwood Forest tomorrow to do the major oak. And at Westonbirt, we scanned the roots of a veteran oak tree. It was a nice enough tree, nothing special. But we just kept walking and walking and walking until we hit an obstacle. We couldn't go any further. And it's quite small, but an oak tree was going out to 22 metres. And the work that we've done in Holland on our own work gives us confidence that we're not making it up, you know. I mean, it sort of means something. And here's the inventor. He is working on this root diameter algorithm. And just to say, we're committed. I think we all are here, committed to change and to innovation. This is a tool that we love using, but it has some work to do. So we're organising a research and development trip to Italy next summer with everybody around the world welcome to join us. I mean, of course, it's nothing to do with the food and the wine and the shopping. But the point is, we need to understand how far trees are rooting, how deep they are rooting. Are there any trends between species? And then we want to share that with people. Why wait for a natural disaster such as a 1987 hurricane to then start looking at roots and think, oh yeah, that's what's happening then? We need to find out now. We've got the emerging technology, and never has the time been more pressing, especially in places like London, to communicate to people how trees root. And this tool will help. Thank you very much.